This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Morning Conversation, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. State Senator Floyd Przanski, a Eugene Democrat, representing parts of Douglas and Lane counties. Floyd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kyle. Hope you're doing well.
Well, the Oregon State Legislature had a special session, and it only lasted one day. Honestly, that caught me off of guard. Were you expecting it to be that short?
I was not. We talked, first of all, or at least the president talked about trying to do it one day, but based on what was on the agenda, it didn't seem like it could happen. The budget issues, of course, were very tight and controversial for many of the members that sat on the committee, and so that in itself seemed like it was going to take more time than it actually did. Things fell in place probably around 8 o'clock Monday night after one of the bills that was tied up in the House broke loose, and at that point we were able to conclude. We concluded on the Senate side about 10:20, and the House was still going forward. I'm not sure what time they actually checked out.
So to give us sort of the highlights of the bills that were passed.
Well, first of all, the most important part was dealing with the COVID-19 impact economics with our economy and stuff. And so that was really the preview for us to come in on the second special session. As you and I talked about previously, we thought that was going to be in the first special session, but we had no budget bill. So very important for us to get those going because of the amount of cuts that need to be made. With the shortfall in the economy, it's better to do it sooner than later just because of the amount that would have to be cut from these different programs. At the same time, the co-chairs as well as the members of those committees really, really worked hard prior to Monday in putting together a list of ways that we could trim here and trim there by using reserves. I know the governor was not real pleased that the legislature took the steps we did of getting into our reserves at the level that we did, but we felt that this was more important at this point in time for us to try to give stability to programs and at the same time be judicious in our cuts.
What about the challenge?
The other bills that we had? Oh.
Well, let me ask you, what about the challenge of cutting some of these budgets at a time, especially on the human services side, where more is being asked because of the mental health and various other impacts of COVID-19?
Very true, and that's exactly why I think you see the levels of cuts you see are not as drastic as had been considered by those committee members. And so, again, I think they were trying to figure ways that they could spare different areas from large impacts. And also, some of the bonding that was done was kind of, I don't want to say unique, but stuff that's out of the norm of how we will bond against our projects that we want to go forward. Some of the programs that had been cut or not attended to in the 2019 session, such as higher education, was put on hold, and it was assured that we would come in during the short session in February of 2020, and we would fill those voids that needed to be done that weren't done in the 2019. Unfortunately, because of the walkout, that didn't get done. And so those type of commitments, obligations to ensure that we have the investments going forward for some of the programs at the higher education, including ensuring that buildings are not going to collapse and such based on seismic, as well as just being put on the disrepair list for such a long time, were taken care of this time. Now, the other thing I think is worth mentioning is the area that judiciary has been involved in is around liability, whether or not there's going to be some type of immunity for businesses as well as for health care providers, hospitals. Those pieces of legislation were worked pretty extensively. We were not able to get to a final resolution, and instead of pushing them into this second special session, there's now already discussion about coming back in September for dealing with some of the other issues that we just didn't have ready to go forward.
And wouldn't that liability situation also apply to the schools?
It would. One of the areas that we looked at is maybe not quite as the same approach for schools. What the schools have been very interested in is having protection specifically for individuals coming onto the school grounds and using the facilities. So basically, there has been some discussion about using waivers, exemptions from liability based on individuals agreeing that by using the school facilities, they're waiving these rights. Now, that's going to be not addressed. This is going to be a continued discussion, because I think many individuals want to make certain that if we do something like that, we do it right, and we know that that we've actually taken into considerations. Now, the other part, which is going to be a much bigger stretch, is whether you give some type of immunity to schools that have a mandate to educate children. And so that's going to be part of the ongoing discussions over the next 6 weeks thereabouts before we, I think, hit a resolution as to whether that is something that, as a policy for the state, we think is appropriate.
I am going to imagine that school officials probably wish that this would have been covered in the session this week so that they had that set before they begin the new school year.
There definitely was a lot of pressure wanting to do this, but you know, it's also one of those situations you don't want to just jump into a, let's call it a knee-jerk response, without having vetted everything that needs to be on the table. And I do believe that there was an earnest effort on everyone's part to try to come up with a resolution, and realize that in a perfect world for the schools, it would be complete immunity. But those are the type of situations that are, you know, you just can't just rush into. So I expect that we'll have the Judiciary Committee kick back up in probably another week, give people some time to breather to get through what we just went through, and then kind of get back to work to see if we can't come to a resolution way before we would even get to a special session, so we all would be informed and have an opportunity to participate in those discussions.
Outside of all the fiscal issues, things like police reform were on the table as well.
That's correct, and that's the area we had a bill that's House Bill 4301, if I remember the number, that basically took two of the concepts of the six that we were looking at, chokeholds and use of force. They were vetted individually, but once we got to a point where they were ready to move forward, they were moved into one bill to just speed up the process. So on the chokehold bill, what we've done there is we've allowed for more direction and guidance to officers as to when they can and use it, and basically have prohibited in a use of a, let's say, as a tool in law enforcement. But they have just as much right to use a chokehold just like you or me in a life or death situation. And so that is basically the ups and downs on that particular bill. Guidance as to when you can't, you know, basically it's a mandate to not use it, and just general police work. And as we talked about this before, it's not used by most agencies, don't use it. The state police have not had any training on this for, I think, 15 years. So this is one of those situations we just wanted to make certain that it's has a framework that where it's not a tool that can be used just in general work. It has to be in a life or death situation. The other part is the use of force, and that, again, has more direction to officers and guidance as to how they use of force and what precautions they have to take, and notification prior to using force.
Just about out of time, but is there another area or one of the other bills that you want to let folks know about?
Well, the other area is UI, so the unemployment insurance. There's some work that was done on that. That came through the budget. I still need to see exactly what the final product was, because that was rushed. And even as the president said, there really wasn't much public input on those two or three bills that they looked at. That will definitely will be on the table if we come back in a third special session.
And do you think that will be early September, or do you think that will be later in the month?
I think it will be later in the month. Normally, we would have our legislative days like the third week, if I'm not mistaken, in September. I would hope that the leadership would position any special session work when we would already be there for a special session. Not special session, for legislative days, and just have it in-house, meaning in the Capitol, instead of doing it virtually.
So would that be in place of the legislative days, or would you do both?
I would think we do both. because there's many committees that are not directly involved in what we've been doing in the special sessions. They have to have their opportunities to do the work and getting ready for the 2021 session. So I would assume that we'd have probably a full week, and that we would have one or two of those days, Thursday, Friday, is what my perspective would be for having a special session. So do all of the work we need to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for ledge days, kick into doing special session the last 2 days of the week. That usually is a nice way to control individual members, because most people would like to be back in their districts and with their family on the weekend. So that's will give us a better chance of getting in and getting out of a special session without seeing things explode.
All right. That's an update from State Senator Floyd Przanski. Thanks for being out this morning.
Kyle, thank you very much. Be well and stay cool this weekend.
All right. 841 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.